Welcome to Pop Culture
Man Children
PCMC. It's a holiday episode. As you all know, we are part of the War on Christmas, so happy holidays.
Happy Life Day.
Happy Life Day?
It's America. Life Day.
Oh, it's Life Day.
Yeah, Life Day.
In Star Wars, it's Life Day? I thought it was Light Day.
No, it's Life Day.
Okay.
That is the brave little toaster, Emilio Sparks.
Hi, that is me. That is Mr. Cry Because It's Just Tuesday, Mike Buongiorno.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Together we are PCMC, your reigning defending tag team champions of pop culture ooey gooey goodness.
Yes.
Coming to you from Mike's basement of cool today.
Mm-hmm.
Normally we broadcast out of two places, either my bedroom or Mike's basement, where Mike's parents think, well, it's just my son and his weirdo friends paying homage to their plastic gods.
All the toys. There's a lot of toys down here. Let me tell you something. This is the tip of the iceberg. I've got so much shit in storage. This is just what's on exhibition right now.
So now when you do decide to move,
yeah,
are you going to chuck some things to...
No. It's all perfectly stored. I could just easily put them on a truck.
Is it categorized and properly put away?
So it's all put away. It's all put in the correct things. It's all like I have non-acid bags to make sure that you don't corrode the plastic.
Yeah.
It could be a little bit more organized in terms of like, I should have like a Dewey Decimal System happening with
Yeah, that's what I thought. I would assume that you would have a filing system for such things.
Not yet, but, you know, there's time.
So if you want to see what we're talking about, go on our Instagram page, at Pop Culture Man Children. We're going to have a photo of the tip of the iceberg, as Mike likes to call it, in the basement of cool. Should we explain, like, what this podcast is or how it originated? Because it was a spinoff. It's a spinoff.
Yeah, this is a spinoff. We're like Rhoda. But the Mary Tyler Moore Show was the Emilio Sparks Experience.
I like that you would associate me with MTM.
That's not what I was implying.
Oh, because you don't want me to throw up my knitted hat and then freeze
frame? No, I mean, you could do it. I'm just saying I didn't mean it as a compliment.
Oh, I thought
it
you
was
did.
Really just a metaphor to illustrate what we're talking about.
So are you Rhoda to my Mary Tyler Moore?
No, again, I'm going to say no to that. We're like the Lou Grant Show from Mary Tyler Moore. I'm your Ed Asner to your Mary. I don't like spunk.
And I'm full of spunk.
Right. So what on the Emilio Sparks Experience, which still exists, mainly as an interview show.
Yeah.
You could find that on iTunes. And
search it. Whatever.
Well, we always did a Christmas episode, and we always had Carlo Carg.
Montague.
I was going to be respectful to the man and say his name for once.
All right. You want to do it?
Carlo Carg Montanini. For those of you who don't get the reference, and why would you, it's that Carlo's name has a silent G in it. It's enough that we call him Carg, which is a reference to the Masters Universe movie. It's like a hat on a hat on a hat. Nobody's tuned in at this point.
Emilio, you yelled and a dog upstairs went crazy.
Yeah, you're upsetting the dog. So Carlo's here.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Happy holidays. And
back again. Like he never left.
It's like we're recording two episodes in one evening.
Look at you. Don't reveal Oz, kid. Don't reveal Oz.
Don't pull that curtain.
Vin Forte is back.
Hey.
Host of Anytime with Vin Forte and Cartoon Follies on YouTube.
Animation Masturbation, I believe it's called.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
No, it's Cartoon Buffoons, and that's on YouTube. Anytime with Vin Forte is on iTunes. Go check that out. And
subscribe. It's on Stitcher
rate,
too.
Subscribe Stitcher.
We're also on Stitcher. Oh, by the way, update. Spotify still has not. We haven't gotten through the golden gate.
Oh my god, we need Spotify, please.
Spotify. Do you know this? Spotify. You have to apply to be on there if you're a podcast. There's nothing democratic about it. They just go maybe. So we have not gotten through Spotify. Maybe in the new year.
Hopefully.
I, too, cannot get on Spotify.
Okay, so we're all in the same group together.
Motherfuckers.
We're pretty much the unfuckables on Spotify.
Yeah.
We don't need a geek-based...
Sorry, I'm not Taylor Swift.
We don't need a geek-based cultured podcast.
That's what John D.
Sorry
Spotify
when
sounds
when
like.
Sorry when I'm Mark Maron.
Is he on Spotify, Mark Maron?
I'm sure he is.
Do people use Spotify for podcasts seriously?
it's something that they just started doing.
Right, like about 6 months ago.
Yeah. So I don't even have it on my phone. But I shouldn't say that because I don't know if they they care enough to comb through it with a fine tooth comb and hear if you insult them, and then they go no.
Well, luckily for me, one of my artists that I've been working with is verified on Spotify.
Who's that?
Sam Zen. If you want to check her out, you can go to @SamZenMusic on Spotify.
Boy, so many plugs right up front.
So I see little baggies over there. Do you want to wait and give the gifts, or do we want to?
We can start this way.
Just introduced it. You got
to. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's, I'm sure, very excited about their gifts.
Yeah. Explain. What? Like, did you shop for us? Was there a budget?
Oh no! I want you to understand. I spent nothing on this.
Okay.
Actually, that's not true. I spent $5 on your gift.
Okay.
Carlo and Vin's gifts are things from loot crates and various other mystery boxes that I don't want.
Well, it's the thought that counts.
Yeah. I thought about taking this trash out of my drawer and giving it to you. But there's cute little red bags, so...
You did put a lot of work into bagging them and putting the paper into the bag.
Yes. I put a lot of work into it.
That's cute.
So we...
Or did your mom do this?
No. Mom has nothing to do with this.
Okay.
Who should we go with first?
You know what? Go with our guest first.
Vin or Carlo?
Vin.
Vincent?
Yeah.
Oh my god, this is like Christmas, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Holidays.
It's like holidays.
It's the holidays. Life it's day. Merriment.
I'm sorry, I'm just looking at the tag now because I wrote your names on tags.
You're really thoughtful.
This is Emilio, that's you.
Oh, I can't wait to get mine.
I actual money spent on you.
I know, $3.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. It's so bright and red.
Is this just like construction paper in here?
No, there's just, I just put paper in there. You can just throw that around. You need the paper, you know, to bulk it up. Otherwise, it's just a bag.
I feel a book.
It is a book.
Oh, Star Trek Starfleet logbook.
And you are a Star Trek fan.
Find out
Star Trek.
If you have what it takes to rise through the ranks of Starfleet.
It's basically a journal.
Oh, it's a journal.
Yeah, there's
like
nothing in there.
Comic book panels and...
Well, you're a writer, right, Vin?
Yeah, I'll write my memoir in this.
Absolutely.
You should write your Star Trek fan fiction.
Star Trek. I swear to God, they're going to take away our pop culture show if you say Star Trek wrong again.
But it's like there's like crossword puzzles in here and like games. And
is there Spock Sudoku?
Yeah. Yeah, there's Sudoku.
Holy shit, there is. I thought you were just going for the alliteration there.
Thank you. Hey, Vin, can I take your paper bag?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Take it.
No, there's another present in there.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Well, you got two.
Whoa.
Wow. Everybody got two.
Oh, my God. What is this?
A jizz sock.
Firefly. Is this a socks or a tie?
Socks.
Ooh, these feel good. Feel this.
Oh, wow. That's luxurious.
That actually, I love this.
That's
great.
Luxurious.
It does feel luxurious.
Those are like dress socks.
Yeah, enjoy them. That's enjoy them.
They're fancy.
You can use them for masturbatory,
reasons.
Deposits.
They're way too long for that, but yeah, thank you.
It's also a thin material, so it'll just soak right
through. I know.
Yeah.
Give to Carlo next.
Okay, I will give to Carlo next.
Mike's playing Santa Claus right now.
Carlo, this is for you.
Wow, Carlo's is heavy.
Whoa.
Star Trek shot glasses.
I know. Yeah.
These really are tailored to each of us.
Yeah. I know how you like to drink. And you like the Star Trek. Those are actually really beautiful. Each one is an episode.
Really nice, actually, yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, wow.
These are great.
I'm going to have to make a cocktail tonight.
Absolutely. Enjoy it.
These are really nice. I like it. It's Spock's Brain.
Mm-hmm.
Assignment Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a good one. The Menagerie Part 1. That's a great episode. And Requiem for Methuselah.
Yes.
That's another classic
episode. Oh, so you really watched this show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all tailored.
Wow.
See? Part 2.
You got a jizz sock, too.
I have a pair of Futurama jizz socks.
Whoa! Really nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everyone's got luxurious socks. Actually, you don't, Emilio. No socks really, for you.
Thank you very much, Mike. I wish I would have
Thank you. These are great.
So I guess we're done. Let's move on to the next segment. Oh, no. Emilio's going to cry.
Imagine Emilio's is the worst, and his is the one you actually spent money on.
I remember as a kid in the 80s, one year, me and my cousins... We were expecting Ghostbusters or Ninja Turtles or whatever, and everyone got us sweaters, and the three of us ruined the entire family's Christmas. Like, literally, the three of us cried in three different rooms. So you couldn't even go anywhere in the party without having one generation of this family just ruin it for everybody. My grandpa left and went upstairs. He left the party. He was like, fuck this.
But, like, it how was, could they not have known that?
Yeah, they were assholes. Stupid.
Well, did you get the Ghostbusters anyway that year?
Yeah, at home, but
we all right, were, that's what counts,
we were,
though.
We were expecting there at the party.
No, you gotta get some bullshit gift from your family members you that you don't care about.
And you, Emilio. Yeah,
I have a lot of Hess trucks.
Christmas Eve was Hess truck day.
Yep. Yeah, we stopped yeah, exactly. at a gas station the way over here.
Okay, I'm ready.
I've never seen you so happy.
I like getting toys and stuff. A lot of paper.
What sock did you get?
No socks for him.
All I wear is black polo socks.
And I know it. I know his socks.
It's a comic book! Ooh, Swamp Thing by Alan Moore. Book one. I needed something like this because I wanted to get into Swamp Thing.
Yeah, when I saw you admire that on my shelf the other day, I said, yeah, I'll give it to him. But you know, it's sort of fresh because I've never read it. I bought it. There was like a two-for-one thing one day at the comic shop, and I bought it, and literally I've never been cracked.
Do you know the first comic book I ever bought was a vintage comic book from the 70s Swamp Thing where he was battling vampires?
You like Swamp Thing?
Yeah, so I'm going to show you that next episode when you're at the house.
Awesome.
I'll show you the comic book. Yeah, I think he's great. I watched the two movies. Adrian Barbeau was a total piece of tush back then.
Yeah, she was 80s hot.
And then Heather Locklear was in the second one, which
second one's not good.
It's real lighthearted.
Which one does Wes Craven direct?
The first one.
God, what a weird movie that is.
Ooh, what is this? I got a Rambo Lego figure.
It is a Rambo minifigure from Lego. It's actually not from Lego. It's from this company, Custom Figures.
This is great. You know me well, sir.
Sadly, there was no Rocky one, so I went with the next best thing.
The next best thing is fine, and this is great. And I like the action figure therapy.
Yeah, shout out to them. They're a cool company.
Sticker. This is great.
I got from them a Deadpool one, a Old Man Wolverine one, and a He-Man one. Because they make the stuff that this Lego doesn't make.
This is fantastic. Thank you very much.
Enjoy. Enjoy, everyone. Enjoy your socks.
I will.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah.
It feels good to give and also feng shui my room a little bit.
Okay, so this is for you.
Oh, is that why you fucking... That's why he wanted the bag. It's the most instant re-gift I've ever seen. Well, it's not a re-gift. You just use the bag.
Yeah, I spent a whole $7.
It's yellow.
Yellow brings out your eyes.
Thank you, babe.
You're welcome, hon.
Can you hold this for me?
Sure.
It's the Star Wars characters on Abbey Road.
Nice.
It's a soft material, though.
Listen, I'm real big on a good aesthetic. I have to feel stuff when I buy for myself to wear.
Absolutely. I hate, like, a scratchy...
And I washed it before I brought it to you.
Yeah, because it smells like...
Yeah, I washed it.
It's got that downy softness to it.
Yeah.
Because I want you to wear it immediately tomorrow or the next day.
I'll wear it to work tomorrow.
See, yeah, and I knew that you would do that because I was like, you know what?
I'm wearing a Luke Skywalker shirt right now.
Like, I don't wear t-shirts or stuff that I buy immediately. I have to wash it first.
I'm like that too. Well, you and me both have OCD pretty bad.
Really bad.
So I'm with you. Thank you so much. That's lovely.
I thought it was cute. And you said you wanted to get into some music. And I figure everybody somehow, some way will always journey into the Beatles. So
absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely. I used to love when I was a kid watching like holiday specials of TV shows or like the stuff that would be on once a year, like Charlie Brown or the Muppet one where they all go to Fozzie's mother's house. Or grandmother's house? I was not sure of their relations.
Yeah, that was with the big crossover of Fraggle Rock and Sesame Street.
Right, right.
It was Fozzie's mother's house.
Okay.
She was actually renting it out Airbnb style to the Fraggle Rock guy.
Right, the old man.
The old man. And then all of the Muppets showed up because Fozzie wanted to surprise his mother.
Right, right, she was on her way to go to a vacation.
Miami.
Right, right. She had on like a lei.
I watched that special just last night, so I am up on it.
It last week. It's good.
That's the Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back of Jim Henson. All you need is Skeksis. But you know what? The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Best. Ugh.
It's my favorite Muppet movie. It's also my favorite Christmas Carol adaptation.
Okay, so yeah. I want you to explain why.
I think Michael Caine is the best Scrooge there has been.
Over Alistair Sim.
Yes.
Yeah, there's not even a debate here.
And I think the songs in it are really good. It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true wherever you find love. It feels like Christmas. A cup of kindness that you share with a neighbor.
That's all I got. So, all right, so you like that they randomly will break into a song.
Yeah, it's called a musical.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you like about it.
It's good music.
Meanwhile, the original is a horror movie.
Yeah, right.
Scary.
Well, where does it rank in terms of those kind of... Because, like, I have always been partial to Scrooged. In terms of, like, those...
See, me too. Oh, the Bill Murray one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I was always a fan of A Diva's Christmas Carol as well.
What is that? Is Alicia Witt in that?
No, she's not.
Oh.
Vanessa Williams is, though.
How old is that?
It's fairly new. It was on VH1 in 99.
Okay.
It's the hip opera era of cable television.
I got it now.
Oh, Trapped in the Closet. Well, like Carmen starring Beyonce.
Oh, Carmen, yeah.
I remember this.
The fun part about it was when she saw her death scene and realized that she was dead, it was a behind the music.
What do you mean?
Okay, so you know how...
Oh, I get it.
You know how, like, when the three spirits come and
explain
visit Scrooge...
Explain to the kids what behind the music is. Kids, don't ask your grandparents. Emilio will explain
it. So what behind the music was, it was a television show that documented the rise and subsequent fall of a particular subject, whether...
1 hour
biographies. 1 hour biographies that highlighted...
And there was a very strict formula, no matter who it was.
It was always the one guy with that same stern narration voice. And they would do one-camera testimonials
and
about certain things.
And after the second act, as they went to commercial, he'd be like, but things are going to get bad. And you're like, oh, shit, drugs are about to happen.
Oh, yeah,
there's about to be a plane crash or something.
Yeah,
or
like, and then things took a turn for the worse.
Or somebody dies.
Yeah.
To go back to A Diva's Christmas Carol, absolutely. That was her seeing that she died and how bad of a person she was, that her entire staff and friends were talking a lot of smack about her. So not only was she getting aggravated at them, she was watching a television show and then she realized that she died.
Wait, was Diva on VH1?
A Diva's Christmas Carol was on VH1.
So that's synergy right there, because it was a VH1 show.
Yeah, and now it's on Hallmark Channel.
So the Ghost of Christmas Past was basically...
Okay, so Chili from
the music.
Some Chili from TLC is...
Wait, let's all first stop for a second and think about what you just said out of your mouth.
Chili from TLC?
Yeah. I want to let that reference.
She had a role in it. Vanessa Williams plays...
Is that really your favorite?
Ebony Scrooge. I enjoy
Ebony
it.
Scrooge.
She plays Ebony Scrooge.
It writes itself, folks.
And Chili from TLC plays Marley Jacob.
Is it musical?
A little bit. Like they don't break it to song, but at the end, Vanessa Williams sings.
It's Vanessa Williams and Chili, and there's a song at the end.
Yeah, that's okay. You get one song.
What's it, an hour?
It's 120 minutes.
It's a whole
movie. Commercials and everything.
Well, you've seen this as well.
I've seen it, and it's like, you would think they should have more songs in it. It's on VH1,
right,
the music channel.
These are all artists.
They're musical artists, and...
Yet
they didn't really. I think it's probably a contractual thing. Like Vanessa.
Well, you want Chili for her acting abilities.
I mean, I'm shocked it was only an hour, because like VH1 right before then was very big into these like 8 hour epics of like the story of the Temptations, like Michael Jackson, American Family.
Oh, remember that Jackson 5 documentary?
I was riveted by that.
Yeah,
I've kind of been thinking about like New Year's resolutions, like, you know. I think that if you make your New Year's resolution something too big, you just set yourself up for failure. Like when people go, I'm going to make $20,000 more this year, or I'm going to lose 30 pounds and get buff this year. Like, you're just setting yourself up for failure. By March, you'll be done. So I've been thinking, like, what pop culture things can I do? So maybe, like, one of my New Year's resolutions will be to binge watch all of A Different World. I also think what I want to do is read more comic books. I am on Goodreads. You know Goodreads? Like social network for readers? Every year on New Year's, they do like, you can set your yearly goal. And I usually set it for like around 40 or 50, whatever. But I figured if I set it for like 150, then I'll set myself up to read more comics, more trades. So maybe A Different World and more comics. Because I'm not as well versed in comics as I want to be. I actually just started reading Spider-Man and Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
They're good together. I like them.
Well, see, I like the fact that you have an interest and you want to continue on your path into literacy and you want to expand not just on the Star Wars fan fiction bullshit.
I do read actual grown up books though.
Sometimes. But you want, but I think it's more fun to escape with comic books sometimes and revisit something that you haven't visited in years.
Yeah. Also, what I started doing, and please don't get angry at me because I do want to support my local shops. I started reading comics on tablets, and a lot of them are edited this way where, like, it's almost like animated. It'll zoom into panels, and it actually makes it very easy to read, and it just makes it easy. You could just download stuff very cheaply.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. A friend of mine has...
I don't mean to be, like, putting the industry out of business.
No, I don't think you're going to put the industry out of business, but a friend of mine has a cracked program where he gets every Marvel comic every month.
Yes.
Onto his tablet.
Is his name Dr. Octopus, your friend?
Yes, it is. And Doc Ock is telling me, hey, listen, you know, because I've been dropping hints for an iPad for Christmas.
To your mad scientist friend.
To my mad scientist friend. He was like, well, you know, maybe if Santa Claus brings you one, you know, it'll have the cracked program on it so you could read all the comic books. And I was like, no, I don't want that. And he's like, why? I was like, because I support mom and pop comic book shops.
Once again, you're high-roading me. You don't need to high-road me.
I like to turn the pages. I like to smell the comic book. I like when I walk into these shops... They have a distinct smell.
I love comic shops. I love the atmosphere. I love the friends. I love everyone there. I love the D&D going on in the background. But the thing is, I have bad eyes, so I need a lot of light to read. And
get glasses.
The thing that's great about tablets is they light up, so you could read in the dark. I don't have to, like, turn on every light. Reading regular books... It's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah. God forbid you get LASIK surgery to correct that.
Yeah. Know what? That's better. I should... To save the comic book industry, let me get lasers in my eyes.
Why not?
Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Besides ending crippling self-doubt?
That's not going to happen for you.
No.
Let's set your sights a little bit lower.
I might want to do a Muay Thai smoker.
I'm sorry?
A Muay Thai smoker.
What's that?
It is a amateur fight in Muay Thai.
Why is it called a smoker?
I don't know. That's just what it's called. It's called a smoker.
How do you think you'll do?
My coach says if I dedicated more time to my training, I'd probably be fine.
Any pop culture stuff?
Well, since, you know, our program deals with Star Wars, I would probably...
Yes?
I'm
listening.
I would probably, I don't know, maybe watch all of them or maybe even read the books. I know I said on our last episode that I would most likely start from The Force Awakens till now to just because it's my stuff now and I can understand it. But I think I would probably want to see Empire Strikes Back and, you know, The Return of the Jedi.
I think
just
you could watch every movie except episodes 1, 2, and 3. Okay. And you'll be pretty solid.
So yeah, I think those are the two things that I want to do. And for my holiday binging when I have time off, I'm going to watch The Punisher on Netflix.
Oh, that'll get you in the spirit.
Right?
I still can't let go of Dolph Lundgren. That's why I haven't watched The Punisher.
Punisher Warzone.
I haven't watched that. I haven't watched the really crappy one with John Pinette.
I didn't mind it.
I loved the Dolph Lundgren...
It was dark. He was battling the Yakuza.
Someone else was in it too that was good. It was
Louis Gossip Jr.
That's what I'm thinking of. He was good.
It was great. It was a really good one.
So I don't want to give that up. I also don't want to watch that again because I haven't watched it in 20 years and I'm sure it's awful. Who's the new Punisher?
Ben, what's his name? From The Walking Dead?
I don't know.
John Baby Driver too, right?
John Berthol?
He's the dude in Baby Driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is my baby Jessica Jones in that? You know I love me some Kristen Ritter.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, so I can't tell you whether or not she's in it.
Anyone? All right. Sorry.
All right, let's ask Vin. What are you going to binge watch and a resolution?
What am I going to binge watch? Oh, my God. I have no idea.
What are you going to go hang out with people and family?
Probably like the last 2 or 3 years were a big period where I got caught up on a lot. So now I'm in that period where it's like there's a lull. Like in the last couple of years, I got caught up. Like I watched Breaking Bad all in a row and loved that. Mm-hmm. So now I'm on to Better Call Saul, which I also love. That show's been great. I watched all of Quantum Leap.
Wow.
Yeah, me too. I've binge watched a lot.
Yeah. Like I
love a Scott Bakula vehicle.
Yeah, that was great.
Ziggy!
So, I don't know. What would you guys recommend?
For a nice, like, Christmas break, you want something, look, you're not going to find anything that's Christmassy because you don't want that, but you want something that just like has a nice fun flavor.
Yeah.
How about the first 5 episodes of Marvel's Runaways?
Ooh, I haven't watched that yet.
I've been really enjoying that. That's been good, and that's Brian K. Vaughan.
I would suggest the first 2 seasons of Frontier, starring Jason Momoa.
No one's watching Frontier. Stop trying to make Frontier happen.
It's like trying to make Vikings happen.
I think you would enjoy Frontier.
No, he wouldn't.
But how do you? Why are you speaking for him?
Because I know Ben.
You don't think that he would enjoy
Cartoon Saloon, and he wouldn't like it.
I think Frontier is right up his alley.
What is Frontier about? Let's
get it's about the fur trading in the 1800s.
Right up your alley, sir?
I don't know if that's up my alley.
Is it in your wheelhouse?
It's in mine.
All right, forget about binging. Is there anything you plan in the next year to read or watch? Or maybe it's the year that you finally read Dune? What do you think?
You know what? That I was thinking very recently, like this might be the year I get into Dune. Because it's one of those things where like I'm one of the few people that actually loves the movie. And I just think it's so weird, and like it's got David
Lynch
all over it,
even though
he doesn't like it. But like every time I go to pick up Dune, I just see the size of it, and like I know that I'm not opposed to huge books. I love a nice tome,
and it's got made up words.
It's got made up words,
so it's hard to read.
But then once you remember, it's like, this is gonna be all about spice and trade.
But then nerds are like, just do it though, and it'll change your life.
It's like reading Infinite Jest.
Yeah, I vow to not read that this year or any year ever.
I kind of equate, and not to get like too political, but I always equate it to like when libertarians ask me to read like The Fountainhead or something.
Like, no, it's not gonna happen.
But yeah, like that's Dune for me.
Yeah, yeah. Carlo, any New Year's resolutions? Do you resolve to do anything?
Actually, yes. I was thinking about this, and I want to preface. I have a palpable disdain for pop culture, so it's interesting that I'm on this show.
It is.
But
we won't book you again.
But I don't avoid media. A lot of independent media.
That's kind of what we mean when we say pop culture. No, like we've had long talks about like books that no one else gives a shit about but me and Emilio. So we don't stick necessarily to what's popular. We dug deep on Anne Rice in like the first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess my resolution would be to actually be a Patreon, like Patreon or...
I like that.
Subscriptions to a lot of this independent media.
Ah.
Because I think that as we see Hollywood crumbling before us, and as the rest of the media landscape is nothing but nostalgia porn and Arrested Development, it's better to support independent media where it's, you know, maybe our culture will move forward instead of being stuck in this bubble of
childishness. Yes. Yeah, I mean, as much as I love pop culture, and obviously I collect pop culture, I myself get sick of superheroes and Skywalkers and want movies sometimes that are about grown-ups doing grown-up things or books about grown-ups doing grown-up things.
But hence the reason why I watch Frontier.
God damn it, no one cares about the fur trade.
But this is like a big problem with pop culture that I have, that it's not really made for people who don't like superheroes or sci-fi.
It's really, it shows the, not to get political, but it shows the immaturity level of just adults in this country. And I am a man talking in front of all of my, I've got a wall of action figures and pops over here, so I understand immaturity.
But that's why in the past, like, year or two, I've really gotten back into reading, really gotten back into books, because, like, that's where a lot of the originality can thrive. That's where there's auteurs still, because no way he's calling the shots but you.
Because you have these giant conglomerates making these giant movies that have to make all this money back. There's no more middle movies. That's why, like, Martin Scorsese does TV. That's why Lynch went to TV. So, like, when you read novels now, it feels like these are what used to be movies in the 90s. These are, like, little stories. Because you can't make little movies.
Yeah.
They could either be really teeny tiny micro-budget, like, indies, or giant superhero movies.
It's split down the middle. It's either budgeted superhero films, or you're going to get these odd Christian-based films.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole nother level.
Oh, my God. Can we divert for a second?
Like the resurrection of Gavin Stone. I brought this up in an episode of PCMC, and just because I wanted to see Shawn Michaels, I wanted to see him act because he's in it. And then I started to notice now, as you're sitting and watching these trailers, you'll see a big budgeted movie, and then another trailer will come on. And they did this during Star Wars, where there was a trailer for a Christian-based movie.
Well, no, I was going to say, Mike, when we went to go see Justice League,
yes,
there was a line for a movie, for some Christian movie called Star.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Nativity.
And we were online thinking the whole time, like,
this must be Justice League.
Yes, it must be Justice League. Like, we're walking, then we, like, walk to the actual theater, and there's, like, a line around the corner.
It was crazy. I mean, to not know a movie exists, and then to see people waiting online for it on a Friday evening, it was crazy.
But this is actually speaks to how out of touch mainstream pop culture is.
And how much out of touch I am.
Well, I mean, like, it's well, maybe, but that movie is a very specific movie, very specific crowd.
Right.
And I think that there is a huge, like, as you saw, it's just like a kind of a regular
right. There are so many
New
Christians
York City movie
in this,
theater.
Right, right.
And like, you would, it's the last thing you would expect to see. But right. Hollywood won't cater to them. They'll just
right.
They'll let the theaters rent out space for a couple weekends.
No, it's true. It's true.
Well, I guess my point was that it's just about missing the boat on this niche audience. Because I think we, like, cable television originally did this niche programming.
Right, 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 right.
And now people are over it because it went away. Niche programming went away. And I think that was probably the best thing for media.
Right.
And then the internet kind of took that over. But I think mainstream media is losing a ton of money not jumping on that boat.
But why do you say niche is bad? Because
I don't say niche is bad. I think niche is good and is what should be happening.
Right. Okay, yeah. Because what I would say is what you're seeing from the movie studios, which now there's like two, now that Disney owns everything, it's almost like network TV.
Right.
It's like everything's going to be shiny and pristine and mm-hmm. make everybody happy and not offend a single person.
But, right. but on the opposite end of the spectrum, you're seeing situations now where if enough people demand something, they'll kind of, like, demand it into existence.
This is true.
And I think, like, there needs to be more of that. Like, just like how a lot of people this year, because of the election, feel like, oh, well, now my, you know, they're kind of opening their eyes to be like, well, my vote kind of matters now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
In the same way, it's like, well, your voice kind of does. Like, if a million people rose up tomorrow and said, we want this specific property to be turned into a movie.
Mystery Science like, Theater. Right? I mean, I feel
yeah.
like the fans brought that back.
Fans absolutely brought that back.
But I just find the notion of millions of people rising up to get a kind of funny TV show on back on the air and not for things that matter.
Oh, totally.
No, not to regain democracy.
No, not for net
neutrality. We want more pithy robots.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, but niche programming is good, and I think that that's democratization, but
right.
Mainstream media has consistently missed the boat on that.
Right. Well, now we're also in a whole nother situation where globalization has taken hold to such an extent that, like, you kind of have to do good in the Chinese movie market. So,
right.
like, American movies have to be really globally accessible.
Well, China owns a gigantic portion of Hollywood at this point.
Right.
I think that the movies are being made now not even to appeal to American audiences, just to make their money back opening weekend and then send it right overseas for the profits.
Where it can make, big
yeah.
money.
Like,
I read that some of the box office receipts from China were found out to be not truthful. I forget where it was. This is, by the way, this podcast is, please don't tweet at me.
Merry
we don't
Christmas.
Know. We don't know what the hell we're talking about. But I remember reading and hearing that, like obviously it's a huge market, but some of that stuff was inflated. Some
That's
of those numbers are inflated.
Before we go, one thing.
Sure.
One thing.
I'm never going to watch Frontier.
It's not about that.
Okay.
Carlo, could you break down It's a Wonderful Life for everybody real quick?
I prepped that just for this moment. So George Bailey is about to kill himself because he's given up every dream he's ever had for others. You know, he gave up on college to take care of his family and eventually, the entire town has become dependent on his spinelessness.
Uh-huh.
So throughout the movie, as he's saved from killing himself, the only selfish act that he would have ever committed, throughout the movie, he's learning how completely selfish and incompetent everyone in his entire life actually is.
Mm-hmm. Including his fucking kids.
His kids, including his guardian angel, who's only helping him to get his own pair of wings.
That's
just
true.
The entire world has been mooching off this man for his entire life. He caves in on the only truly self-serving decision he's ever made, which was to kill himself. Just to go back home and be walked all over by the community.
Right. And he was really just going to kill himself to get out of his economic debt.
That was created by an incompetent town.
Right. And his fucking uncle, who lost all that money.
Right. So to wrap it up, it's a story about how a man can only be useful to the world by caring for those around him selflessly, which sounds nice, but actually it's very, very bleak and deeply troubling. Uh-huh. Because he should probably spend maybe 10% of his time thinking about himself, and he'd probably be healthier and right. happier and more willing to do things for the community and not want to kill himself on Christmas Eve.
That's a dark movie. I mean, how many other movies, how many other Christmas movies do you know that have suicide in it as a major plot point? It is a dark ass movie. And like, when he, before he goes to kill himself, when he's being an asshole to his family, and he's like, why do we have so many kids? It's like, Jesus Christ. All right, no one told you to fucking not wear a rubber, George Bailey.
He has four. That's it. He has four kids.
Well, look, I'm not saying he's the one who felt like there was too many kids.
Yeah. Well, I think he was just in a bad mood.
Yeah.
I'm sure he liked having four
kids. The kids didn't help, though. I mean,
not in that moment, that's for sure. What's so fascinating about this movie is that a small blunder, well, I mean, there was a lot of opportunism from, what's the old guy's name?
Potter.
There's a lot of opportunism. He was waiting for that. And he, you know, they obviously know that he kind of worked that situation.
Right.
But an entire town shouldn't cave in because of one drunk's incompetence.
Right.
Look at the era that you're dealing with, though.
Yes, but what I'm saying is there were more than two banks in this town. There has to be. There's never been a town with
one bank. Yeah, but I feel like Mr. Potter owns it. See, I always saw the movie as a scathing indictment of capitalism. I always saw a Marxist read on it. Because money and property ownership is so important to everybody's lives. And it's what makes Potter powerful, and it's what makes George Bailey miserable.
Well, it was a propaganda film, because look who the director was. He's the king of propaganda films.
He actually made propaganda during World War II.
Look at It's a Wonderful Life. There's a scene.
Propaganda for, I believe.
Yeah, he did. He made Rah Rah Go Out There and Defend the Flag.
I'm trying to remember the name of it. I think the Ogre. There was literally a government organization, the Office of War Information, OWI, during World War II.
But that's what they worked
for. So did Stan Lee, by the way.
But that's what they all did. That's what they all did.
Wasn't Dr. Seuss part of that?
Dr. Seuss was part of that as well.
Dr. Seuss was a scumbag.
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't. We'll do a mini episode just dedicated to Dr. Seuss.
Can we talk about when his wife is dying of cancer, he left her for a younger woman, and he wrote her a letter saying, I'm leaving you, enjoy your cancer?
I don't believe Dr. Seuss did that, to be quite frank.
Well, you don't have to believe it, my friend.
I honestly don't.
These are called facts.
We will talk about Dr. Seuss in a later mini episode.
First of all, his name is Seuss. Theodore Seuss Geigel. Okay? Get it right, you savage.
It's the holidays. Calm down. Your voice is raising right now. We're at a Christmas party right now.
I'm getting heated. I'm getting tight.
It's all that Marxist ideas.
I know. Everything's an indictment of capitalism.
You guys brought it up.
Lionel Barrymore really pissed you off.
You know what, though? First of all, I got a vendetta against all the Barrymores. That's number one. Listen, when I bring up Bing Crosby, you get all tight.
Because he's the most evil man in the world, though.
He is.
Seuss
is evil.
You can't sit there, but Seuss is not evil, though.
Why? Because you haven't read the thing that I'm telling you about?
I'm
not making it up.
I've Googled Dr. Seuss just to make sure he wasn't an evil man profiteering off the hopes and dreams of children.
Oh, you Googled it? Oh, great.
So I did some research on this Dr. Seuss thing.
Yeah.
Mike, you're kind of wrong.
Okay, tell me.
He never wrote her a note saying, like, oh, you know, you have cancer, whatever. Fuck.
Yeah, he never said, enjoy your cancer.
Yeah, he never said, enjoy your cancer. He never wrote her a note saying, enjoy your cancer. What happened was she wrote a suicide note before she killed herself.
Sure.
Explaining, like, I don't know what's happened to us. I feel myself in a spiral. Like, it seems like she was very codependent on him and that he really hurt her. And she mentions, like, I'm not going, like, don't worry, I'm not going to mention anything, like, your reputation is going to remain.
Because did he leave her, or
left her after, right after she died, and married the mistress that they both knew he had.
Okay.
All right, so he didn't write her a note and say, enjoy your cancer.
Right, right.
So he's still shitty.
He was just having a bad time shitty. And then enjoying himself.
Listen, I'm not saying philandering, you know, you get a pass because your wife's dying, but, you know, yeah, you're wrong for that. But does that really make him a shitty person?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Name someone in mainstream media or anyone who's not a piece of shit.
Go for it.
Name five.
No way.
Because you can't.
No, right, and I'm not saying Dr. Seuss's books aren't awesome.
Oh, the places you go.
He came up with the word nerd. That's him, baby.
So we got
right. Hentai. Chris Hardwick owes him a life debt.
Yes, he does.
He gets points.
This conversation has become up a lot lately with everything going on. I don't think we have to throw away all the art. I'm just telling you that he's not an awesome dude. All the places you'll go to your mistress's house while your poor wife is killing herself. And on that note, have a Merry Christmas. This is Pop Culture Man Children. Animal, take us out.
Bye-bye.